بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We cannot lose if we hold on to Allah. Christianity says, Judaism says, Christianity says, Islam says, God will never break off from you. You have to break off from Him. He will never break off from you. And then God revealed in the Quran, says, hold, catch on, grip, and hold on to the cable, the rope that God sent down to you from heaven. A firm hold that will never break. A firm handhold for you that will never break. Now you know, God created us to be born just like animals. Animals of the womb that are tied to the mother by the, we used to say navel cord, umbilical cord, or navel cord. In this first awakening that we have as human beings, we are tied to Mother Nature. That's a sign of how we're tied to Mother Nature, the way God tied us to our mother while we were in her. We're tied to Mother Nature the way we are tied to our mothers that give birth to us. And we can't have life except from her body while we are in her body. Likewise, those who are still under the grip of nature and have not awakened to God's plan for human beings, they are tied to the navel cord of Mother Nature. And they cannot get any life except from the material world and its nature. God has to reveal to them. And like the new baby, has to be separated and then take in the breath outside of his mother. We have to be separated from this dependency on natural life and the natural world to latch on to God, to grab a new cord. The new cord is not flesh and blood. The new cord is spirit. The spirit of God that comes down from high and connects us to Him so we can feed on divine and open up our minds and souls and hearts to a new reality and follow the best of His servants. Isn't it wonderful? Allahu Akbar. God has done that for us. So let us wake up and respect what He has done for us. You know, sometimes you can, a great thing can be done for you, and you fail even to thank the person that did it. Maybe they die, and then you start to think back on what happened, and you start to weep and cry because you didn't thank them like you should have. Too late, they're gone. Now, it will never be too late to thank God, except that you die, because God is always existing and ready to hear your thankfulness. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulid. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. God revealed over 14 centuries ago to Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and mercy to the world, telling him and us who follow him to say, He, the God, is one alone. The God is eternal, resisting any attempt to affect him or to change him. Never did he give birth to a son, and never was he born a son. And there never exists anything that can be compared with him. And that is called by a name that's not in the text. It is called the unity, but unity is not in the text. It means that if we accept this, this alone can unite us. If we accept it, if we accept that picture, that idea of God, that alone can bring us together in unity. Allahu Akbar. It is also called Ikhlas, Al-Ikhlas, Suratul Ikhlas. But where is Ikhlas in the text? The Arabs, when they finish with a discussion, or they finish with something, and they are tired of just prolonging it, like some of you are with my talk here. God, no, I'm not holding you. I'm not holding you. God is holding you. I let you go anytime to get ready. Go to the washroom, go out, go back home, go play. God knows. I let you go anytime to get ready. Am not offended, will love you still. Praise be to Allah. But Allah is holding you and holding me. I can't rush it up and you can't rush it up. Praise be to Allah. So it's called Suratul Ikhlas. And the Arabs, when they finish with something, they say khalas from the same root. Khalas. They mean finished, concluded, nothing else to be said or done. So they appropriately gave this name to this chapter, and it's very appropriate for us. Because the logic here says, it's finished, there's no more to be said. Now what many learned leaders of Islam, scholars and imams, muftis and everything in the Islamic world don't know is this that I'm going to tell you right now here. The Bible ends at Revelation, says, it is done, finished. But it wasn't done. It was not finished. Allah had to give the Quran and this surah that finishes the discussion about who is God, what is God, where is God, finishes it. Praise be to Allah. Now God also says in the Quran, Alaysa lahu al-khalq wal-amr. This is another trouble spot for theologians, for wise people in religion. Now God, you acknowledge that God made all this, the skies, the earth, all the natural things, and the human beings that he created to also be creators. You hear that, sir? The human beings he created to also be creators. Well, where do you get that from, brother Imam? And he, Allah, ahsani khaliqin. He is the best of creators. So that's telling us that Allah made other creators. He's just the best of the creators. Say, well, what has man created? Goods, comforts, and a lot of other things on that side, and hell. Now, I'm going to address this to you, brothers. I'd like to call you my co-worker, Imam. In this community, you imams and leaders, God knows that there is nothing I want to give you except peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. When I say that, it's not just a greeting that I'm not conscious of. I wish you to have peace, and I wish you to be responsible are obligated to keep the peace. Yes, I do. There is another chapter in Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. For the protection of the Quraysh, the tribe that Muhammad the Prophet was born in, that was his tribe. Its protection is assured over throughout or over winter and summer. The two extremes, winter and summer. Winter brings death to the earth or crops, and the warm weather brings the life back again. The extreme of both can be very harmful and punishing. Extreme cold can be punishing. Extreme heat can be punishing. The cold will kill your work, the farmer, the agriculturalist. The cold will kill your work, but also the heat will kill your work. Dry it out. And grass is the most tender and vulnerable to these changes. When the heat comes, the grass will die sometime within a night, a day and a night. You go out and look at your grass, it's turning yellow. Too much heat, dried it out, it started to die. And they call us the grassroots, don't they? And they put us in the heat. They want us to be in the high heat all the time to make sure that we have no production. No production in the heat of lust. Lust for women, for sex. Lust for money. Lust for just playtime. They put us in the lust for life to burn us up so we cannot have any production. Burn the life out of us. And we are grass only because we haven't been favored to resist the life that God intended for us. That second life, that second breath of life. Once you get that second breath of life, you're not grass anymore. You're a much higher creation than grass after you get that second life. Brings me to Allah. So for the protection of Christ through winter and summer, the extremes of life that kill you and kill your production. Says, therefore, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, serve, worship the Lord of this house. Now, the house built by Abraham and his son Ishmael, the descendants of Ishmael is accepted to be, are known to be and accepted to be the Arabs. The Arabs. So this is saying to the Arabs, it was your father whose father was Abraham who built this house. And this house is the reason why you are protected from the extremes of winter and summer. Pilgrims were coming there before Muhammad the Prophet. Pilgrims came there. Because that house had lost its meaning and connection with God in the right way, but it still was a connection with God. Only with 369 gods, so history says, that they had placed in that house 369 household gods. Some were said to give them better crops. If you pray to them, their crops would be better. If you needed rain, pray to this one, the rain will come. If you need money, pray to this one, money will come. If you need healing, pray to that one, healing will come. So they had a god for almost everything. If you want the land to bear more, pray to that one, the god of fertility, the land will bear more. But they had that kind of attachment to that house, and their gods were in that house. And because they all shared that belief, they all would come once a year to make circles around that house, just as we do now. The only thing, they didn't have the dignity that we have. They thought it was nice to go around the house in the nude. So they would go around the house in the nude, naked. This is history. They would go around the house in the nude. What that means? What that tells us about them and that house? It tells us that they believed that house was the beginning of creation for human beings. That house was represented housing the first life of human beings. And the first life of human beings is naked. The baby is the first life of human beings. And the baby comes here naked. So they saw that house as the house that protected the first human being, the most ancient of houses. I could tell you a lot on that house. All right. So God is saying through Muhammad to his people, the Arabs, he's saying to them, you didn't do this yourself. God bless you with this good situation. Where you got a house, you've lost the purity of it, but you still got the house, and it brings all of you from distant places once a year to this place. And that's how you survive the winters and the summers, the extremes of the winters and the summers. The merchants would get rich once a year, like they do now. The merchants would get rich during every pilgrimage. They would get rich because people are coming there. They have to stay there for the duration of the time of the pilgrimage, and they have to have food. They have to buy things, so the merchants would be ready. Big bazaar. And the food would be there and everything, and they're paying for it. They're paying even for the water, like some of them right now will charge you for water. You don't have to pay them. You can go to Zamzam and get your own water. But for convenience, if you're real thirsty, you buy the water. You say, well, how much? $1. Give them $1. Oh, then never mind. So God gave them that security from the extremes of life, cold winters and summers that burn up your production. So God is reminding them of that so they would listen to Muhammad and respect where he's coming from. And this was not the only chapter or the only piece of revelation that caught the Arabs' attention, but this was a powerful piece of revelation from God that caught the Arabs' attention. Now you may say, well, this revelation is not to Arabs. You're correct. It's to all of us, because all of us live in the extremes of winter and summer, and God has given all of us original, innocent, virgin nature, that if we return to it, we can have a good life that will protect us from the extremes of winter and summer. Because when you love your original creation that God made, not a lying human being, a truthful human being, not a rebellious human being, an obeying human being. Every baby comes here, not lying to us, but being truthful with his affections and everything else. The baby doesn't like you, ain't gonna hug and kiss you until he learns psychology and lying from us. That baby won't hug and kiss you. That baby rejects you. And when it gives you its affections, it's true and sincere. When you return to that nature, you have protection from the extremes of winter and summer. So this is a sign to all of us. The Kaaba is a great sign. The house is a great sign to all of us. Go back to the first social life and nature that God created for you, and you will have the life that you can build upon. Build and build and build. And you can stretch out from there. Because if you stay in that life, human beings all over the world can connect up with you. Because that's the life God gave them originally too. Innocent life, truthful life, not hypocritical life. So if we can, if you stay in that life, eventually the whole world can connect up. Because that's the life he gave every human being before they were Asian, African, European, black, white, and other colors. He gave them that life. They are born human before they are born in any other identity. And if you will stay in that original purity of the human he created, you can connect up with the world of mankind. And all of you can have protection from the extremes of winter and summer. We can't stop now, can we? No. They'll have to kill me and all those who with me. We will not stop now. They couldn't stop us before. Now they done got the second breath of life, you're wasting your time. The one who made them, who fed them against hunger, and who made them safe or secure from fear. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, when we hunger, we start to be afraid for our life. Oh, I'm going to die if I don't get something. Right? Hunger and fear go together. The extremes of the one give you the extreme of the other. Replying to the Pharaoh of ancient Egypt, Pharaoh got to be so mighty with his people and his nation and their building, their great building works. He got to be so mighty that he asked to begin to think he was the only God existing. And he laughed at Moses and the God that Moses represented. He said, oh, told his builders, build it be a ladder, a scaffold. And let us go up in the sky and see can we find that God that Moses is talking about. Just making fun, you know. Well, Moses responded to him in certain ways. Abraham responded to him in this way. He threatened to cut Abraham off from life. On Abraham, and the prophets be peace, and Abraham said, Elevi chalakani seyahdini. He who gave me my creation, or who created me, will guide me, shall guide me, seyahdini, shall guide me. So with that, he appeals to the intelligence that should be rational intelligence in the Pharaoh. But he also, at the same time, gave a conclusive, emphatic, and conclusive statement to Pharaoh. You're wasting your time with me. I will not be guided by you. You're not going to guide my life. The God who created me is the one that shall guide me. So he was making an emphatic statement to Pharaoh, saying, never will you get me. But at the same time, he was appealing to the intelligence of Pharaoh. He was saying to Pharaoh, guidance comes from the creation of God. God created things to guide the intelligence of human beings. Pharaoh, you should know this better than anybody. All your science you've got, science of colors, science of plants, science of construction, all of that you got, chemistry and all the sciences you got, you know you didn't get those sciences from yourself. You got those sciences from studying what God created. So he was appealing to his good senses, his rational senses at the same time. Elevi chalachani shayahdin me. He who created me shall guide me. He was saying to Pharaoh, you lie. You don't give God credit for your guidance. So I'm telling you, I'm not like you, Pharaoh. I worship the God that guided me, that guides me through his creation. He created me and gave me guidance in his creation. That's the God I worship. I'm not going to be a hypocrite like you, Pharaoh. Get all the help from creation that God made, and then you claim yourself you God. Don't you know those pharaohs exist today? The secular world, the public school system, the colleges and universities, they take God out of the picture. So you will worship them as the great minds that have brought all this science and wisdom and knowledge, etc. When they have done nothing but studied God's creation over a period of hundreds and thousands of years and piled it, compiled it, and piled it up, where they are now have storehouses of nothing but science and knowledge. But how did it come to them? They went to what God made and studied it. Right? What science do they have about human beings? The science of skin? That's my skin. You studied it and found out how my skin exists and keeps itself healthy. That's all you did. You got that knowledge out of studying the human skin. Science of bones, science of the eyes. You don't have anything except you went to what God did and got it. You had to go to what God did and got it. What do you have that you didn't go to what God did for? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now that's a fact. And Islam comes, the Quran comes, and Muhammad comes to make that perfectly clear. It says, Alaysa lillah, Alaysa lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Is it not for him both the creation and the command over it? Man wants the command over it, to have power over other men. He wants the command over it so he can become the boss over other men. So the question is put to the man, is it not for God both creation and the command over it? Are you the creator of these things? Did you lock these sciences up in matter? Did you create nature to have this kind of discipline to educate you? No, you didn't. God, the creator, did it. As well as your own self. He created you too. And gave you design. And gave you laws over your matter. Over your matter. And gave you systems that can be studied because they follow a logic. They follow a definite order and a definite logic. God made that to be put into your head. Now, why don't you acknowledge him to the masses of people? Why don't you acknowledge him to the public? It's a great shirk. It's a great sin on the modern world that it let these schools operate and don't introduce them to God first. First! You didn't bring about anything that you're using. You didn't create it. You didn't make its laws. You didn't make its patterns. You didn't create these systems. And you can't better them. You can't change them. You got the benefit from all these. So before you tell the child anything about education, You should tell the child, without the creation, matter that you see, the skies and the earth and our bodies and animals, bodies created by a power we don't know and can't conquer, we would not have anything to teach you in this school. That's what they should tell them first. Then they would be educating children and educating people who will have it straight and who will be free to make much more of their lives than what they are making of their lives today. Because you can have a PhD. You can have many PhDs. And you can fall down to the lowest of the low. Drugs, liquor, lust for the things of this world can bring that PhD down to the lowest of the low. Disappointment, something he attached himself to or she attached herself to, disappoints you, fall down sometimes to the lowest of the low. But if they would introduce education correctly, begin with the God that made the world out of which all knowledge comes, وَسِعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلْمًا رَحْمًا. He has extended everything and encompassed everything, connects everything, pardon me. He extended everything, expands everything, and connects everything upon knowledge and mercy. Upon knowledge and mercy. What is God telling us? Telling us everything created has a knowledge to offer you. And everything created has a mercy to offer you. Doesn't civilization, the growth of education for society, bring not only knowledge but also a more compassionate world to live in? A more comfortable and more merciful world to live in. So God has said that by way of revelation to Muhammad the Prophet. Yes, this is necessary, what I'm doing. Yes. So that statement from the prophet Abraham, Father Abraham, peace be upon him, to Pharaoh, the one that was oppressing the people and claiming to be himself the only God. It connects man with creation so that man can be connected to his God. The first words given to Muhammad was not Bismillah. The first words given to Muhammad was Iqra, read. Bismi, with the name. Alladhi, who? Khalaq, created. Created. Muhammad was lost in the world. He only had the umbilical cord to live on. He was lost in the world. The second breath and the cable from the heaven had not come to him yet. So God was trying to wake him to his mission, but his mind was not conditioned for it. He was not raised in Christianity. He was not raised in Judaism. So he had no knowledge of previous scriptures. He didn't know revelation, how it comes about or anything. They were worshippers. His people were worshippers of idols. And he had such a high, refined human nature that he didn't worship idols, but he didn't know how to worship God, except with his obedience, and he didn't have a connection with God. So God said to him, read. And he said, I can't read. And God said again, the second time to him, read. And he repeated, I can't read. This is in the Bible. This is fulfilled in the Bible. It says in the Bible, there'll be a book. And someone would come upon that book. And that person would go, not be able to read. Person would not be a reader. So that person would take that book to someone and say, can you read this for me? And the first person, this is the Bible, I'm giving you word for word how it goes in the Bible. The person said, I cannot, I'm sorry. I cannot read letters. He goes on to another person. And the second person said, I can read letters, but is sealed. I can't break the seals. That's what he's saying. That person's saying is sealed. I can't break the seals. So God comes now, and what did the Bible say? This condition will be the condition in the end of time. Say there will be darkness covering the whole earth. That was the time that Muhammad was born in the dark ages. There will be darkness covering the whole earth. And it also says in the Bible that there will be a famine. Say, but it won't be a famine of food. It'll be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. That's what the famine would be. All over the earth. That's the time Muhammad came into. Our prophet. The seal of the prophets, the last. That's the kind of time he came into. So he comes in and God speaks through him to the world. Telling the world of the light and of the enlightened in Scripture. The world of theologians. The world of the learned in religion. He's telling them that's how it was closed out. Now, listen to my servant. This is how it's being opened up again. Say, I came to him. No one can put the light into the world again after darkness has covered the whole world and all is lost, but the God who sent the light in the first place. Say, so now I come to Muhammad, and I took him who had not been taught by you all, and I told him to read from myself, and he couldn't read, not even from me. He could read. But when I connected him with creation, he started to read. Praise be to Allah. I know you educated ones. You understand what I'm saying. And you know the beauty and the value of what I'm saying. Whether you accept it or not, you know it. But many of these here, they can't appreciate it like you can because they don't know the sciences of the material world. And they don't know how to connect those sciences with the God that made the material world and how to appreciate what God has done through man while he was still in the womb of his mother, not even outside of himself, our flesh. What God did for him made him so wise with the powers of creation, with the knowledge and powers of creation, and just want him to be born again. That's all. So he can have even a bigger world, and even a more compassionate world, and even a more scientific and more knowledgeable world, if he would just accept the breath of the bigger reality that God has waiting for him, if he would just come out of his mother and be born again. So God says in another place, he says, and believe me, the Bible bears witness to what I'm saying to you. The prophets in the early scriptures of the parts of the Bible, writings of the Bible, how did they find God? It's still there in the Old Testament. They looked at, like Abraham did, they observed the natural phenomena. They observed the natural world and its working. Stars, sun, rain, clouds and rain, thunder and lightning. They observed all those things, rivers and everything, and animals being fed by the land, from the land, and because of the water, the land is revived. They looked at all that, and here's what the prophet said in the Old Testament. He said, I know by your handiwork, mean what you have done, handiwork, mean your art, your creation that is so beautiful and done so artistically. I know by the works that I'm looking at that there is a God behind all this. That's how they came to know God. The real God. God says in our holy book, who has said to my worshipers, the goods of the world are not for them? God asked a question. Who has said to my worshippers, the goods of the world are not for them? Now, God doesn't have to answer that. We can. We know who said to us, the goods of the world are not for us.
Maybe you got an imam where you came from, who says, no, we're going to stick with the sunnah and the prayers and the rituals, and we're not supposed to go after the dunya. Well, that's one of those dumb spirits that are saying with his action, it's not with his mouth. The goods of the world is not for us. So God says, who have said to my worshippers, the goods of the world are not for them? God says, to the contrary, such is for them in this present world and exclusively for them in the latter. That's what God says. Such is for them in this world and exclusively for them in the latter. What is that saying? God is saying, you enslavers of human beings, you robbers who want to live on the labor of human beings and have it easy and not send them into the fields of the universe to plow the earth, to bring out the sciences, to bring out the products so they can go where I want them to go. You holding them back, claiming to be holy and not of this world, and telling them that they're not supposed to have these things. But who's feeding you? They're feeding you. Who's clothing you? You want them to clothe you. Who's putting you in a nice car? You want them to put you in a nice car. Who's keeping your rent paid? You want them to keep your rent paid. Who will buy you a nice house to live in? You want them to do that. But you're telling them, stay away from those things. So you're telling them, I want you to get no more money than what I need. Your job you got now is good enough. And sometimes the pressure gets so hard and you believe that man is approved by God, you'll go out and do something unlawful. You'll go out and do something to break the law so you can give him some money so he won't be put out of doors. We're going to stop that, buddy. God is the provider. He provides for all. And abundantly. Abundantly. Don't forget what I said in the beginning. Muhammad the prophet was a businessman before he became the prophet. God is the one who fed against hunger and secured us against fear. Just as he did for the tribe of Quraysh. He has fed us against hunger, and he has secured us against fear. Yes, he has. Those who truly believed and followed my father and his way, you didn't live, you gave your all, but you didn't hunger. There was always someone. We had a brotherhood and a sisterhood. There was always someone you could go to and eat. You didn't have to be hungry. Wasn't that wonderful? And the character he gave us to go forward with our lives behind him had no room for fear. We feared nothing. We didn't fear the white man anything. Yes? Before Muhammad was a prophet, he was a businessman. God guided him to order the business life of the people of the peninsula called Arabia. And that work went out from Arabia into Africa, Egypt, Sudan, and other places, and went the other way toward Europe. Persia, now called Iran, Iraq, all those places were touched by his work, and they ordered their economic life under a prophet, under a man that came to guide people in religion. And God says, and he shall raise up among the brethren the one that like unto Moses. Didn't he mission Moses to take the people out of Egypt into another land so that they could be the leaders and the builders of a new order on this earth? Man like Moses. And aren't we to be like Muhammad? And if we're like Muhammad, that means we're like Moses in that respect. God guided him and they became builders, great builders. And led them into strong economic system. A strong economic system that would take care of all the people and all the nations that would come into it. It wasn't limited to one people or one land, but the system was made for all people in all lands. Yes, a system regulated by zakat. By zakat. God says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, koo anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O believers, save your own selves and your family from the fire of hell, from hellfire. But it didn't say hellfire, it said nara, just fire. See, a fire that cooks your food and a fire that warms your house is not hellfire, but a fire that deprives you of food and makes your house cold is hellfire. Is hellfire. In other words, passions that make your life comfortable and good is good fire. And passions that make your life uncomfortable and bad is hellfire. Bad passions that take us to hell. How do you know this, brother man? Where do you get the thought to talk like that? It's not put like that in the Quran. Naru lati tatali'u 'ala al-af'idah. The flames of fire that leap up over your sentiments are the hearts of people. That's what it says. Wise if not the dumb know exactly what God is describing. Describing greed in the body. Greed in the body, lust in the body, that burn out the good sentiments of human beings and throw their life into hell. That's what it's talking about. This ain't no spooky stuff. God is not the God of spookism. God is the God of reality. He made the first reality, and it becomes unreal because of man's playing and gambling and using it and abusing it. Then God has to have some man that's not like that to bring it back to its true reality. The world in the beginning wasn't called a bad place. It was called Eden, a garden of paradise. And this is also reinforced by what Muhammad says, that God did. He said God told the angel Jibreel. He says, come, I want to show you my creation. And Jibreel came and God showed him his creation. And Jibreel looked at his creation and he said, Oh my Lord. See, he didn't know Jibreel, the Holy Ghost. He didn't know he had a Lord, did you? He said, Oh my Lord, how can anyone go wrong in such a marvelous creation? Like the Garden of Eden. Or better, because that was before even the serpent was there. And God, I guess within a twinkling of the eye, showed him the world after Satan had done his thing in it. And Abraham looked at it. He said, My Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a world? So don't think that this universe is bad. Don't think that the earth that feeds us. God says, and from the earth he feeds you. Isn't that what he says? From the sky and the earth, he says, he feeds you. Well, how can it be bad if God chose to make the earth to feed me? Then to punish back, you rise. From the back of the earth, you rise. Then he spreads the earth out as a carpet, as a lush carpet. God is not putting down the world. God is raising up the world as a beautiful picture with great values and great use for you. That's what God is doing. So why do we get this kind of thing to put it down? Oh, no. You don't want to get your heart on that. If the imam is going to put his heart on making money, then the only reason why he was able to help us, because he didn't put his heart on making money, he guided us to the Quran and the Sunnah. But now he's going back to what his father did. He's going to make some money. He want to make money for us. I'm not going to help him. Now, they don't say that to you. Well, let me continue. I'll just continue. It will be said. I'll just continue. Yes. Yes. The flames of passion leaps over the sentiments of the heart and puts us into hellfire. This has happened to many of our so-called leaders in MAS, in the Muslim American Society.
Be sure to join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6653 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.